Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Learn with Dr. G. Today, I have a very special guest on the show. Megan Lewis, who's one of my teammates, is here to introduce us to a new topic that I have never explored before, blockchain. I'm so excited for this video because Megan has built some new Microsoft Learn content all around blockchain, and I've been so curious about it. So I'll let her tell you a little bit about it.
Thank you, Dr. G. I'm so excited to be here on your show today. Thank you for having me. I want to take a few minutes to talk about some new content that I created for Microsoft Learn. This might be a little different than some topics that you've previously covered, but my hope is that you'll all learn something new and inspiring about blockchain technology and what you can do with it. First, I'll start with an introduction about myself. I'm a technical program manager on the same team as Dr. G, and I focus on creating learning experiences for our Microsoft Reactors worldwide community. My focus has to do with emerging technologies, which is a broad term to describe tech that is popular or trending or has the capacity to positively impact our society in some way. One of the topics that I've been focused on is blockchain. And if you're like me, blockchain technology might have been one of those topics that you've heard a lot about, especially with the emergence of Bitcoin and Ethereum over the past decade. I was really drawn into the cryptocurrency and wanted to understand more about this mysterious blockchain technology and understand how it works and what are some problems that it could possibly help solve. I have been fortunate to explore and learn not only on my own, but with the help of many other blockchain experts, both internally at Microsoft and externally as well. And once I felt I had a good grasp on this technology and use cases, I wanted to share what I learned with others. I was inspired to create a set of complementary learning experiences to teach about blockchain development for the Ethereum platform. My hope is that through Microsoft Learn content, video series and corresponding live streams, I would have the opportunity to share information with others about how they can learn all about the technology and explore the skills needed to become a blockchain developer. So what I'd like to take a deeper look at today is the content that I've created for Microsoft Learn. So let's hop over to there now at aka.ms/blockchain-development-11. So this takes you directly to the Get Started with Blockchain Development learning path. You can also find this on Microsoft Learn by searching for blockchain. To complete this learning path, all you'll need to do is have a Microsoft account and sign into the platform to get going. You can see that I'm already signed in here in the top right corner. So this content is geared towards complete beginners, whether you're a student or professional. You don't need to know a single thing about blockchain to get started. The goal of this learning path is to learn about the foundations of blockchain and how blockchain technology works, gain an understanding of tools and skills needed to develop on the Ethereum blockchain, create smart contracts and decentralized applications, and deploy to Ethereum networks. Additionally, you don't need much to get started. It will definitely help if you've had exposure to a programming language like C, Python, or JavaScript. It will also be beneficial if you have familiarity with the command line to help create new directories and install programs. And you'll also need to have Visual Studio Code installed and some other programs like Node.js to be able to complete the coding exercises. So next, let me explore the first module in this learning path. The first module in this learning path is the Introduction to Blockchain on Azure. This module was created by my colleague, Pat Altimore, and provides a wonderful and very visual introduction to blockchain. Pat clearly explains what blockchain is, how the technology works, and how to decide if blockchain is right for your solution. The second module goes into detail about how to use Solidity, the primary language used to program for the Ethereum blockchain platform. Solidity is a high-level, object-oriented programming language. In this module, you will explore the language basics, learn how to use value and reference types, and write your first ever smart contract, which is a program that lives on a blockchain network and describes how individuals can conduct business with one another. This module will allow you to get some hands-on experience working through Solidity examples in Visual Studio Code. The third module builds off the previous two by focusing on smart contracts. Here I provide some more exposure to a suite of tools that you can use to make Ethereum blockchain development easier and more efficient. You'll get familiar with the Azure Blockchain Development Kit for Ethereum, the Truffle Tool Suite, and more. I provide an introduction to how to use these tools to write and test smart contracts. My hope is that you will then feel confident with what you've learned to go out and explore on your own using these tools to write smart contracts and applications for your own blockchain solution. I also have more modules planned that will be released over the fall and winter of 2020. These modules will include topics on working with blockchain tokens, building decentralized applications, and deploying to Ethereum networks. You can jump around and pick and choose which modules you'd like to take and when. This content is completely self-paced and provides all the resources you might need to continue your learning journey. By completing this path, you'll have acquired new skills and knowledge to go develop your own blockchain smart contracts and applications. So there's a bit of an overview of what to expect from this blockchain development learning path. I would love for you all watching this to go and check out the content and let me know how you enjoyed it. And now, Dr. G, I'll hand it back over to you. Thank you all for watching, and thank you, Dr. G, again for having me as a guest on your show today.
This is so exciting. If you want to check out all of the content that she's built, you can head over to aka.ms/learnwithdrg/blockchain, and you'll be taken to the Microsoft Learn Learning Path. Here you'll find the three new modules that Megan just went over. Okay, I just wanted to do a quick little experimentation with this. So far, all I've done is gone through this first module and just kind of started to understand what blockchain is. And then I started going through the second module here. And there's this one exercise in this unit that's write your first contract. And I'm so excited to just try this out because I've never done this before. I've never written Solidity code. I've never done anything related to blockchain. And I'm just really excited. So I figured we can try and experiment together. So I'm going to go ahead and first of all, I want to copy this code, but I need somewhere to put it. I know in the third unit, Megan shows us how to set up Visual Studio Code in our local environment, and I normally do that. But for me personally, since there is this in-browser experience, I think I want to try it out there first, and then later I'll go through the third unit and try to set up VS Code. So I noticed down here there was this Remix IDE. And I think this takes us, literally straight into an in-browser IDE. This is awesome. That seemed fast. So featured plugins, Solidity. Okay, so I think these over here are the Solidity, some of the Solidity plugins. So it looks like this in-browser experience is similar to VS Code, where it's got these kind of like plugins or extensions on the side. This looks like files. Okay. This is cool. Debugging, testing, unit testing, contract fetcher, other plugins. Okay, cool. So I think we just basically need to create a file. So I'm gonna create a new file. I'm just gonna call this Learn with Dr. G. Okay, so now I need that code from the module. So up here, we've got this copy, and I can just head over here and paste it. All right. I'm just going to go through this first. The module did explain a little bit about it, but I kind of want to just test to see if I understand this code before I go back and check the module, kind of like flashcards. So I've read through the first two modules, and I have the code here in front of me, so now I'm going to test to see if this is right and if it makes sense to me. So I remembered that first we do need this. Oh, let me zoom in because this is kind of small. Okay, that's better. So first we needed this Pragma, Solidity, and then the version numbers. So that's to make sure that this code works with the version of the blockchain that we're going to be using. And this is just going to be like a local test, so I'm not too worried about that. Then we're going to create a contract, and this one's called Marketplace. So it would seem that we've got a seller and a buyer, and then we've got this mapping that maps people or like addresses, so either a seller or a buyer to a unit, sorry, a unit, to an unsigned integer, meaning how much like money they have. Okay, remember, this is my first time, so if I don't get all of the words exactly right, you should check out Megan's blockchain video series that's coming out soon, because she'll have more like real words to say. But let's try this. So then we're going to create two events. One is a list item event. So a seller can list an item for a particular price. And then the other one is a purchased item event, where a seller can sell an item to a buyer for a particular price. Okay. And then the state is either the item is available or the item is purchased. That makes sense. And that state is there. This is an enum. So that was the one of the user-defined types, enum, which we've seen in other programming languages also, but I'm just excited for remembering these things. So we're creating a variable called state that will be updated. So then the constructor for this contract will assign our seller variable to the sender, and then we'll update the state to say that the item is available. And then the buy function that'll take in a seller and a buyer and a price is public and payable, meaning that we can like exchange money between them, or in this function. And we want to require that the price, which is this parameter here, is less than or equal to the balance of that buyer from that balances mapping. That makes sense. Make sure that the buyer has enough money to afford this. Okay. And if not, it'll say insufficient balance. If that's true, then we will update the state to purchased. We will subtract the amount from the buyer and add the amount to the seller. And then we will emit, so that's actually calling the event, that the item was purchased with seller, buyer, and the value. Cool. I mean, I think that makes sense. Okay, so now we need to compile this. This looks like that makes sense. I'll leave warnings hidden. I'm just testing this out for fun, so I'm not too worried about warnings right now. Oh, sweet. Okay, that's done. What are these other things? So then there's deploy and run. Okay. Oh, this is neat. So we can choose an environment. I'm just going to leave it the default. And then it looks like we've got some accounts that we can use to like pretend like those are sellers and buyers. All right. Gas limit. I think if I remember right, that's like how many transactions can happen. I can't remember exactly. I'm not going to say what it is. Okay. I'm going to leave all these just default. Okay, so it looks like creation of marketplace is pending, transaction recorded 1. Okay, and then we've got this nice little like interactive thing. Oh, cool, and it was done. So it looks like that worked. So I've got the addresses up here, and this one like used some ether. So let me copy that address and see what the balance is for this person. Oops, I didn't actually paste it. Balance. Okay, so 0. So it's got this like unsigned int 0. And then it looks like it's also showing us some info down here. Right, output is 0. Okay, so that makes sense. So this is basically an example of being able to buy and sell items. But we did have this require here. By the way, this is just kind of how I would explore code for the first time when I'm just experimenting with it, especially when it's not like a follow along tutorial and it's just like, here's some sample code, see what it does. This is how I do that. So we have this require here that is checking to see if the price is less than or equal to the balance of the buyer. But I just realized we didn't like initialize that ever. So what if like after this contract was deployed, what if you were also able to, like each person could like say, this is how much money I have. Like this is what I'm bringing to the table. Do you think we could write that function? Oh, I'm kind of nervous. Okay. All right, let's try it. So, all right, whew. we need a function. Let's call this like initial balance or something. I like to have, I like my function names to be kind of long because not long. Like I like my function names to be accurately representing what it is. And if it's a longer function name, I'm okay with that if it makes sense to. And have it be public. And I don't think this needs to be payable because we're not transferring like money between addresses or seller and buyer. We're just updating the mapping. But we do need to have, let's see, address. It's not really the buyer, it's just anyone. So maybe like participant. I don't know. And then amount. Okay, because we need to say like, I want this person to have this amount. Okay. And then we basically just need to say like this same kind of thing, but it's participant. Okay. But is that like literally all we need to do? I mean, so I think this makes sense, but the only thing I'm worried about is like, what if someone tries to assign money to someone else? So this is just sample code. So it's not like this should not be deployed in a place where you need to like be legit, right? Like I think there's a lot of checks missing here. For example, we're not even talking about the items yet. Where it seems like maybe like the seller could have the address of the buyer and just say like, hey, you bought this for $10,000. Now you owe me that. So there's a lot of checks missing here, but still, I kind of want to see if I can add in my own require check to make sure that it's this person who is saying that that's the amount that they have. So I'm going to try this. Okay. Require. Sorry, I don't know why I'm so excited to write code in a brand new language I've never written code in. Does anyone else get that way? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Okay, participant. That's fine. But we want to require that. So remember that like when we are making a call on this contract, I don't know if that's the right words. So like up here on line 19, the like person who's sending the message, so the message sender, we were saying that that's the seller. So the seller is instantiating this kind of contract. In this case though, I think I want to say that I want the person who is doing this to be the participant. And if it's not, then maybe I should spell balance. Okay. Do we want people to constantly, well, let's just try this. I don't know. Let's just try this. And we just add the amount. Okay. Sure. Why not? So let me save this and recompile. I think that recompiled. What happens if I come back over here and so I redeploy. Okay, cool. It's here now because this was the first one. Cool. Look, there's initial balance. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to come up here and I want this first person to be the seller. So I'm going to say this person, what is their balance right now? Zero. I want their balance to be 10. I don't know. Is that going to work? Oh, I'm nervous. It says it's pending. I don't know. Is that working? Did that work? I don't know. Oh, look, it did. Update 10. So I think, it finished. Call to marketplace balance. Okay, so it did. Look, it updated it to 10. Ah, that's so exciting. Okay, so now this person, the original person, can sell to the second person.
Well, this is so fun.
Something for $5. Sure, why not? Right? So seller, buyer, and amount. Okay, so now this person's balance should now be 10, or should now be 5. Ah, that worked! Oh my gosh. And then the seller, did the seller work? Okay, I'm going to copy that one. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Oh, that's so cool. Okay. Oh, that's so neat. Okay, so basically, and something should be, yes, 1. And I think that's item purchased, which is the 1, not 0. So it's been purchased. That is so cool. Okay. So, wow. Okay. How long was that? I felt like that was like 30 seconds. So we basically, what we did was we went over here, we grabbed the code from this unit, from the Learn How to Use Solidity module. And then we pasted it in here, compiled it, but then we realized that no one had a balance. And so this require would always say insufficient balance, right? So then we added in this function. That's so neat. What if we, this person could totally just give themselves $100. And then that one still has 5. But then, did I get an error? Oh, you cannot update. I was on the other person. Okay, sorry. So am I on the next person? Yeah, second person. There we go. And then balance. There we go. Now it's 100, which actually took away their 5. So maybe this should actually be plus equals. We want people to be able to add extra money. I think so. Okay. So plus equals. So it's like, if you want to bring more money to the table, just go ahead and add it. Okay. So let's go ahead and compile that, because compile, let's redeploy. Here's our new deploy. Okay. So let's go check out this person, second person. What is your current balance? It's 0. So now I'm going to set your balance to 5. Perfect. Now I'm going to switch back to that first person. And what is your balance? 0. And I want you to sell to my second person. For 5. Balance is now 5, and of the second person, or the first person, is also 5. And then now, if I were on the second person and I wanted to update their balance to add 100, and then I check their balance, it's 100. Oh, wait, did that not work? Plus equals participant. Oops, did I get another error? Oh no, here's all the stuff I just did. Wait, did that not work? Okay, so that, 200. Okay, so it is adding it now. I just realized that we named this initial balance. Do we only want them to be able to add the first time? So like, do we want to add another, require that balances participant equals equals 0, and then add more funds. I mean, I don't know if that's a choice that you want to make, but I kind of feel like then we can just do the equals. Then you only add funds the first time. It's kind of like you come and you say, this is how much I'm willing to engage with this transaction, and then everything else has to be bought or sold. I don't know. That's a decision that someone could make. Let's try that. Let's compile and let's redeploy and bring this one out. Okay, so let's just double check. So we've got this first person should not have, yes, no money. The second person, also no money. I'm going to say the second person is going to add, let's do 30, just because we're not going to be able to update anymore. So now the second person now has 30. So then now the first person is going to sell something to this second person for, let's say, 10. Actually, before I do that, I want to give that first person an init of 10. Okay, so now my first person has 10, my second person has 30. Now I want to sell from my first person to my second person for 10, which means they will both have 20 afterwards. Bye. And then now if I run this, 20. And if we get the second person, copy, 20. And if we try to update this, it's like, no way, you cannot do that. Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Ah, okay. Oh, that's so neat. Okay. So I don't know about you, but that was my very first time ever doing anything related to blockchain. And I am so excited to kind of understand a little bit more about how this works, like how there's just kind of this shared state and shared understanding and these contracts, and the code makes sense. That was really fun. I want to know what you try. So this is a very, 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 very basic like outline of a contract. Basically, it's not functional in this first one. So I want to know what you do. Make sure that you go over to aka.ms/learnwithdrg. Where is it? Right here. That one. /blockchain and try this one out, specifically in module 2, unit 6. Also, if you like this type of content, remember that we've got a lot of other videos. We just did some recently on data science and space exploration. We have some exciting stuff coming up next. aka.ms/learnwithdrg will take you to all of those videos. And I also do live streams every other Tuesday. So you can go to aka.ms/learnwithdrg/upcomingstream to find my next stream that's coming up. You can register on Meetup and it'll just make sure that you don't forget where to go watch it. In fact, Megan and I both work with the Microsoft Reactors, which not only have myself and her streaming and YouTube videos and workshops and things like that, but also our teammate, Christopher Harrison, who is a web guru. So if you love web development, you should check him out. And a number of other workshops and live streams and videos, a lot of which are in various time zones. So you can find something live for you wherever you live. You can check out all of the Reactor links here. And at the very bottom here, there is an email sign up where we send just a monthly newsletter that highlights some of the recent live streams or upcoming ones and learn modules that you might be interested in. So be sure to check out the Microsoft Reactor too. So with that, we've concluded at least my first dive into blockchain. I mean, maybe it was like not a dive, but like a toe tip. But that was really exciting. And I can't wait to do that third module now. If you do end up trying it out, tag me on Twitter. Otherwise, I'll see y'all next time. Bye.